Prandasya Garanjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today is the glorious appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So we're going to speak about him today. Now, we have to first of all understand the Pancha Tattva. What's the Pancha Tattva? And who else? Srivas. Okay. So the word tattva means basically existence or the truth. Sometimes it means truth, sometimes it means existence. It means something that's eternally true, basically. Like the Bhagavad Gita says, there's certain things that are not eternally true. What are those things that are not eternally true? Can anyone think of anything that's not eternally true? Well, the material world, in one sense, the existence of the material world. In other words, it's sometimes here, sometimes not manifest, sometimes manifest. And so, let's say, Keshava as descendant of Naveen and Ankshu, that's not eternal, that's not an eternal truth. These are not your eternal parents. Or you're not eternally a Aussie. So these things are not, in one sense, they're not even considered truth with a capital T. The Bhagavad Gita says, Nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sattva. Ubiyarapi drishtavantas twanios tatvadarshvihi. Which basically means those things are temporary, considered unreal. They exist for some time. Just like a soap bubble. When you were young, did you ever blow soap bubbles? It exists, but it's not true within or real in a real sense because it just comes into existence and is gone. Similarly, this lifetime is like a dream. Like last night, you probably dreamt of something. Did you dream of something last night? You don't know. You don't remember. But you did. And what happened to that dream? Bye-bye. And so what will happen in 100 years to your dream? That you are the son of so-and-so, bye-bye. And you're an Aussie, and all that. Bye-bye. Once it's gone, it's gone. Isn't that depressing? No. It's not depressing. Once it's gone, it's gone. Everything you work for in this life, boom, gone. And then you have to start from zero again. Next life, you have to go to school again and learn how to talk. Just like the little children here, like Kana, Ravi, they're just learning how to talk. Right? So you'll be like that in your next life, just learning how to talk. It's pretty depressing, isn't it? You have to learn the same things over and over again, go to school again. Oh my God. What a depressing thought. So, Panchatattva means like there's five eternal truths or categories. And what are those five eternal truths? One is, of course, Krishna, right? And Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. What does that mean? That Radha and Krishna have appeared as one in this Kali Yuga, and that's Lord Chaitanya. Radha Krishna Nayanya. They're not separate. They're not different. And then after that is who? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Nityananda is who? In Krishna's pastimes. Balaram Hoile Natai. So he's also of the tattva, it's called Vishnu tattva. There's three Vishnu tattvas in the Pancha tattva. Wow, that sounds confusing, doesn't it? No? Vishnu tattva means God, basically. So there's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Who else is Vishnu tattva in the Pancha tattva? Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya is a expansion of Sada Shiva, not the Shiva in this material world, but the Vishnu Shiva in the spiritual world. But Shiva is the name of Krishna, actually. And he's also an expansion, who is an expansion of Mahavishnu. So that's a Dvaitacharya. So these are the three gods, or three, one, there's one God and three manifestations of God in the Panchatattva, right? And then after those three, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, who are? Gadadhar. Then you have Gadadhar, who is who? Who is the Shakti of the Lord. Shakti means the energy. And who is the original Shakti, original energy of Krishna? Radharani. She's called the Adi Shakti. That means the original Shakti. And all the other Shaktis come from her. Like, what is the Shakti that you're usually dealing with, Keshav? No, he is marginal. That's different. Marginal potency. He's a different Shakti. But which one is he always dealing with when he plays soccer? The Maya Shakti, Durga. Durga's out there in the soccer field with you. And she's expansion, indirect expansion of Srimati Radharani. Just like Lord Shiva is an expansion, indirect expansion of Krishna. Lord Shiva is described like the yogurt that comes from the, what? You don't know. So you have milk, and where does yogurt come from? That's good. And can you turn it back the other way? Can you make milk from yogurt? No. Because what happens when you heat the yogurt to try to make milk from yogurt? What happens with heated yogurt? It turns into curds. And then you can make paneer from it. There's a certain type of paneer you can make from heated yogurt. Did you know that? You didn't know that. It's called yogurt cheese. And it's actually very nice paneer. So you can't make milk from yogurt in the same way Lord Shiva doesn't become Krishna. But Krishna manifests himself, or Lord Vishnu manifests himself as Shiva. So anyway, so there's the Maya Shakti, which expands ultimately from Srimati Radharani. First there's Radharani, and the right after Radharani expands, the first expansion, of course, is the Ashta, what? Sakis, like Lalita, Vishaka. Who else? Induleka. Rangadevi. Champaka. You know, all these different Astasakis. And then, after that, the other gopis are expansions of Radharani. And then, outside of Vrindavan, Radharani expands as the wives of Krishna. Primarily Satyabhama, and then the other wives like Rukmini, right? And the eight principal wives of Krishna, and then 16,108 wives of Krishna. So these are all Radharani's expansions. And then after that, Radharani expands as Lakshmi. And then after that, as Bhudevi. Lakshmi is Sri Devi, and Bhudevi means like Bhumi, who is the personification or the presiding deity of the earth planet. And then after that, after all these spiritual expansions, Srimati Radharani expands in this material world as Durga. So you're primarily dealing with Durga right now. So you should put a nice deity of Durga on your altar. And you should also celebrate Kali Puja. What do you think?
No?
In one sense, we're all celebrating Kali Puja because we're worshiping Krishna's material energy. We don't realize it. The interesting thing is we don't realize it. We say, well, I just have Krishna on the altar. But actually, you're worshiping Durga in real life. Most of the day, you're worshiping Durga. Wow. What?
How?
Because you're doing things that have no relationship with Krishna. like for example, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoya Andhakar. Does anyone know what that means? Krishna's the sun, Maya's darkness. So what is darkness? What is the definition of darkness? The absence of light. So where there is not Krishna, there is Maya. By definition, one could say, I'm not Krishna conscious, but I'm not in Maya either. But it doesn't make sense. You're either Krishna conscious, you have a choice, you'll be either Krishna conscious or in Maya. And it differs throughout the day. Sometimes of the day you're in Maya, sometimes of the day you're Krishna conscious. Like for a few hours when you're sitting in Bhagavatam class, if your mind's not wandering, then you're Krishna conscious. But actually, you are wherever your mind is. Did you know that? You could be sitting in Bhagavatam class and being completely in Maya if you're not paying attention. Or kirtan, whatever it is. So therefore, that's Maya Shakti. And generally, we're worshipping her most of the day. Because like if you play, let's say you take your iPad out or something, and you play games. Like, because last night, they were playing a nice game. They were building a temple for Krishna.
Yeah.
So that's Krishna Khan. That's not Maya Shakti. But if you're doing this with your iPad, you're worshipping Durga. Wow. Pretty interesting. You think, I'm a Vaishnava, I don't worship Durga. But you're worshiping all day long. Ding, ding. Durga, Om Durgaya Namaha, Om Durgaya Namaha, Om Durgaya Namaha.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So, that's interesting, isn't it? How, even though you're not aware, you're actually serving Durga. But the interesting thing about when you serve Durga, she's not such a good boss. Because she gives you these miseries for the body and mind, miseries from living entities, miseries from the material energy. Anyway, so let's get back to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, because we got a little far away from that. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is a manifestation of Radharani. However, he doesn't exactly have Radharani's same mood, because Radharani is a left-handed gopi. What does that mean? That means she writes with her left hand?
She's
unsubmissive. Krishna likes it more when his girlfriends and wives are unsubmissive. Pretty good, isn't it? So you ladies who are married should learn from that. If you want to please your husbands, don't be submissive. No, but actually, Radharani's unsubmissiveness is always done to please Krishna. It's not done to oppose Krishna. It's done to give Krishna a nice, flavorful spicing in the rasa. As we were mentioning before, there's indirect rasas. We talked about the 7 indirect rasas. You know, you have ghastliness, you have humor, so many things like that. So therefore, that's Radharani's love for Krishna, to give Krishna pleasure. So anyway, she's left-handed. But at the same time, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was always submissive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why is that? How did that happen? That's very interesting. So the answer the acharyas give is that because Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he stole that unsubmissive mood from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. It's like a very esoteric type of statement. I mean, it's hard to understand. In other words, he took the mood. You couldn't have two people in unsubmissive moods. You couldn't have Lord Chaitanya like that and also Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit, as far as some of the pastimes are concerned, was Lord Chaitanya's classmate. And basically, he grew up in Navadvip with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, Gadadhar Pandit was very serious and self-composed in his childhood, whereas Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very fickle. You know what fickle means? Very cheeky. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, we describe, would go to the Ganges as the brahmanas were saying their Gayatri mantras, and what would he do? He'd pull on their legs, and he would spit on them. And he would change the Brahmin's clothes with the women's clothes. Because it's not like the modern day, the men and the women all go swimming in the same place in the lake. But they would be separate places. So the Brahmins would get out of the river and they would find saris there. Or gopi skirts. And that was quite frustrating. Because in those days, they didn't do cross-dressing. You know what that means? course, because men didn't dress like women. So Lord Chaitanya was very much engaged in something called sophistry. That's a very fancy word. It means word jugglery. And that actually comes from the ancient Greek, where in Athens you had these sophists, you know, people who are just like juggling words to prove anything. And, of course, in ancient Greek you also had Socrates, who argued against the sophists, or those who just juggled words, you know, just made, could prove any damn thing just by juggling words. So, Lord Chaitanya was like that, and Gadadhar Pandit was very upset with him, even though he was very attracted to him. He didn't realize that he was actually Krishna at that point. That was because of yoga maya. Because of yoga maya, even Krishna and Radharani don't recognize each other sometimes. And you see that many times in Krishna's pastimes. Especially the pastimes told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So anyway, so Gadadhar Pandit wanted to stay away from Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was always chasing after him. And one day Lord Chaitanya said, "Gadadhar, soon I shall become such a great Vaishnava that Lord Brahma and the other demigods will bow down to me." And Gadadhar thought, this guy is really puffed up. So, later on, of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, then he again manifested his full position as Krishna and also as a great devotee of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Gadadhar didn't have a spiritual master at that point. So there was a special arrangement made for Gadadhar to have a spiritual master. So we know when Srimati Radharani was present, her father's name was what? Vrishabhanu. And therefore she's known as Vrishabhanu Nandini. That's a name. Actually, I have a disciple by that name, Vrishabhanu Nandini. So she was known as Vrishabhanu Nandini, and her father was Vrishabhanu. So naturally, it would be good for her to accept as her spiritual master, because in those days, the ladies really didn't go separately and get initiated. You know, the father was like the natural guru for the ladies. Nowadays, of course, the ladies are a little more independent, or a lot more independent. And so they have separate initiation. In those days, actually, even many times, the husband would take initiation and he'd give his wife the Brahmin Gayatri. Did you know that? It's not that there wasn't anything such thing as Brahmacharinis in those days. Actually, even Prabhupada was the one who actually started Brahmacharinis. It's interesting. His godbrothers criticized them for him. They said, "Ooh, you have Brahmacharinis. That's a made-up word." It is a made-up word. Because actually, it's both English and Sanskrit. Because in Sanskrit, you don't get the plural just by adding an S. Just like the word acharya means one who teaches by example. So acharyas, that you make it plural by adding the English S to it. And so it's a combination of English and Sanskrit. You understand? We do that all the time. Yeah. Even the word founder acharya is a combination, you know, both English and Sanskrit. So Brahmacharinis is a combination of English and Sanskrit. So anyway, so Prabhupada started the Brahmacharini ashram, but traditionally the ladies would actually just take shelter of their father and their husbands. But nowadays that's not possible anymore. No one is like Sita Devi, even though the husbands would like their wives to be like Sita Devi, Savitri. They tell that to their wives, "You should be like Savitri." And then the wife says, "But you're not like Satchabhan."
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you had a husband like Ram, certainly you could be like Sita, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There's not too many Rams going around here. Some of the husbands are like Parshuram. Parshuram? You know who Parshuram is?
Yeah.
With the axe. That means Ram with the axe. So anyway, getting back to the story. So getting back to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, there was a special arrangement made so he could actually take initiation from his or her father in the previous life. So that arrangement was very interesting. Once upon a time, there was this great devotee of Krishna, and his name was Pundarik Vijayaniti. And he is an incarnation of Vrishabhanu. And so he was visiting Mayapur. Gadadhar didn't know anything about him. But Gadadhar had a friend named Mukunda Dat. And Mukunda Dat said to Gadadhar, "Let's go see this great devotee." And Gadadhar said, "Yes, yeah, I'd like to see this great devotee." All right, so they both went to see Pundarik Vijayaniti. But Pundarik Vijayaniti had a little bit different, let's say, external appearance than most Vaishnavas. I mean, most Vaishnavas, basically, they're not, you don't see them so many times, chewing on pans, sitting on an opulent bed, you know, dressed like in very opulent silk with their hair combed back with oil in it. Like that, you know, real long hair with oil. You know, then most of the time you see like Vaishnavas living austerely, wearing cotton, sometimes silk. You know, they wear silk for preaching. But it's not that, you know, you go see some sannyasin, he has long black hair and it's with oil and everything like that. But this particular individual, Pundarik Vijayaniti, was sitting on a four-poster bed. Do you know what a four-poster bed is? That means it has four posts and has a canopy overhead, you know, like a singhasana. It's almost like his bed was like a singhasana, even better than that singhasana. You ever seen a real wood singhasana in some of the temples? That beautiful carp. So he was sitting there chewing pan. Like a dapper gentleman. That's an English word, of course. Dapper. So he was sitting there, and Gadadhar took a look at him, and he said, he was thinking, in his mind, he said, "This is a Vaishnava? This is a material sense enjoyer. You know, he's not a Vaishnava." And so he was thinking like that, and Mukunda understood his mind, and Mukunda began to sing a song from the Bhagavatam, illustrating how compassionate Krishna was. And when Pundarik Vijayaniti heard this song, he immediately went into such ecstasy. He kicked apart his bed, all the clothes were torn, and he's rolling on the ground, and he became unconscious. So, of course, this is a bhava, or spiritual emotion. Devotees experience this thing called the vyabhachari bhava. In vyabhachari bhavas, you have uncontrolled spiritual emotions. Have you ever seen anyone like that? Like rolling on the ground. It's almost like craziness. You know, there's very little difference externally between a pure Vaishnava's manifesting these ecstasies and someone in a mental institution. You know, they just go crazy when they hear about Krishna. But of course, they cover it up so that you don't get confused. So, anyway, so when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he thought, "Wow, I made a big mistake. In my mind, I have criticized this great Vaishnava." And so he was thinking, "What can I do to rectify this criticism?" And then he thought the only way to rectify it is to take initiation from him. And so later on, when Pundarik Vijayaniti came back to external consciousness, he said to him, "Will you become my guru?" And Pundarik Vijayaniti, knowing that Gadadhara Pandit was actually Srimati Radharani, said, "Only after many, many lives do I get a disciple like that." I don't think I've ever said that about any of my disciples. I mean, some of them are so rascally, I'd say that, yeah. "Only after many, many lives do I get a rascal disciple like this." So then he took initiation on an auspicious day, and they were always together. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar also, as I mentioned before, were inseparable. So after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested himself as as Krishna, then Gadadhar was always with him, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami followed him to Jagannath Puri when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Actually, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never got married, but at the same time, he never really took sannyas in a formal way. And while he was in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would read the Srimad Bhagavatam, would give Srimad Bhagavatam class to Lord Chaitanya every day. In other words, he'd be reading from the Bhagavatam and preaching, and Lord Chaitanya would listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, Srinivasacharya wanted to go and hear the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And he went, he's the second generation from Lord Chaitanya, after Lord Chaitanya left this world. And he went to Jagannath Puri to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then when he went, Gadadhar Pandit couldn't read the Srimad Bhagavatam anymore. Does anyone know why? Anyone guess why he couldn't read the Srimad Bhagavatam after Lord Chaitanya left?
Due to separation from Lord Chaitanya.
That's one thing, but even more. That the Bhagavatam that he was using to read to Lord Chaitanya was illegible. Because he was crying, and Lord Chaitanya was crying on this Bhagavatam. And you know, when you cry, of course in those days they used ink, it wasn't a printing press. Then the ink becomes smeared, so nobody could read the Bhagavatam. And then when Srinivasacharya came back after getting his own Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit already left this world. And so, Gadadhar Pandit, when he was in Jagannath Puri, took a very special service. He took the type of sannyas, not really a formal sannyas, it's called kshetra sannyas, where you vow to remain in a holy place, and it's like a type of anaprastha, it's not really sannyas, and serve a particular set of deities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is the preferable type of sannyas in Kali Yuga, that one resides in a holy place with the family, because he didn't have family, but resides in a holy place, even with the family, and serves the deities. This is the recommendation for people when they get older. Not that the men have to be worried or the women have to be worried your husband's going to leave you. Don't worry about it. He'll be with you always. And that may be a worry for some people. But but he'll be with you always and you serve the deities together, isn't it? That's nice, isn't it? You never stop serving together. In the beginning, you get married, there's romance, and stars, and hearts. And then after the romance, there's children, and that's hard work. And then after the children, then it is, and you've paid all your bills, paid your mortgage, if you haven't bought another house by that time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people buy a house when they're like 60 years old, and then they end up paying the mortgage till they die. So, and after that time, there's vanaprastha. And then you serve the deities with your wife and husband together. It's very nice. So Gadadhar Pandit was in that particular type of ashram. So he had taken a vow to serve the deity of Tota Gopinath. You saw that deity? And it's a very wonderful deity that when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was old, then he could no longer dress the deity because the deity was so tall. It's a very big deity. And so he was worried, I can't do my deity service anymore. Then what happened?
And then Tota Gopinath sat down.
He sat down. It's one of the few deities of Krishna as a young man sitting down. Of course, you do have the crawling deity of Krishna. Who's the crawling deity of Krishna?
Lata
Gopal. Lata Gopal. But that's Krishna as a little baby. That's not Krishna as a young adult or a young man. So there was the deity of Tota Gopinath. And incidentally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left this world, entered into that deity of Tota Gopinath. That's how he left this world. And if you go see the deity, if you ask the pujari, you pay the pujari like, what, 100 rupees or something? 100 rupees a person. That's interesting. We should do that. That's a good way of fundraising. They should have done that last night, you know. We'll give you darshan of the deities for $10,000. So you give the pujari 100 rupees for each person, then he takes the cloth, the deities up, and you can see where Lord Chaitanya, and there's a golden streak there. You seen that? And then also Gadadhar Pandit Goswami left this world in the same way. He entered into the deity. Lord Chaitanya did, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami did. So because he had taken this vow of kshetra sannyas, that meant he could never leave Jagannath Puri. Because you take a vow to serve. And so then once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Jagannath Puri, And Giridhar Pandit could no longer bear his separation, so he said, I'm going to go with you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you've taken this vow of Kshetra Sannyas. You can't go with me. And Giridhar Pandit Goswami followed Lord Chaitanya a little distance away, so Lord Chaitanya couldn't keep chastising him about that. And so then eventually, he came to Lord Chaitanya right when they were getting ready to cross the river. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now your vow is completely broken. Go back. And Giridhar Pandit Goswami said, wherever you are is where Tota Gopinath is. Which is true, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So there's no breaking of the vow if you're serving Krishna directly or serving the deity of Krishna, because it's also direct service, no doubt. So then Giridhar Pandit Goswami fainted, and then he went back and served the deities while Lord Chaitanya was doing his touring, both in South India, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to Vrindavan and other places in India. So these are some of the stories. This is actually all the information I have. I just remembered everything. I didn't have to read it. So any questions about Giridhar Pandit Goswami? Yeah.
You said earlier in the class that Durga Devi is an indirect expansion of Radharani.
Yes, right.
What about Saraswati? Because I've heard that there's one in the material world.
Yeah, yeah. There's one Saraswati who's married. She's also an expansion who's married to Vishnu. And there's another one who's married to Lord Brahma. There's actually two. Or more. There's two. Actually, probably a lot more than that. Yes. Saraswati, who is with Vishnu, who is the wife of Vishnu, is actually expansion of Radharani, ultimately expansion of Radharani, ultimately expansion of Lakshmi. All the consorts, I mean, like we hear, Lakshmi, Sahasa, Sata, Sambrahma, Sevimanam. You ever heard this before? There's thousands of Lakshmis, or actually unlimited numbers of Lakshmis serving Krishna. Of course, the original Lakshmi, another name of Radharani is Adi Lakshmi. She's the original Lakshmi. It's like I said, Adi Shakti, Adi Lakshmi. Also, another name of Radharani is Ladini Shakti. H-L-A, you know, it's pronounced Kladi, Ladini. Not exactly Ladini, it's Kladini. So that means the pleasure potency of the Lord. So any of Krishna's or Narayan's or Vishnu's wives, consorts, they're considered expansions of Srimati, ultimately Srimati Radharani.
So this Saraswati, who's the wife of Vishnu, exists on some of the Vaikuntha planets?
Or? She's eternally existing with Vishnu.
On some of the planets?
No, always with Vishnu.
On every planet?
Yeah, she's always with Vishnu. That's eternal. I mean, just like Lakshmi's always with Vishnu, Bhudevi, Sridevi, Saraswati. These are all the different wives of Vishnu. Eternally. But that's Swakya. Swakya relationship. Swakya means married. Parakya means something different, like outside, outside of marriage, basically. Para. Like we have para also means transcendental, so that means outside. You understand? That outside. So the only time you have the Parakya relationship is in Vrindavan. So with Lord Chaitanya, of course, as I mentioned before, Giridhar was always submissive to him, but there was another devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was always unsubmissive to Lord Chaitanya. Can anyone remember who that is? Who was an incarnation of Satchabhama. Satchabhama is also an expansion of Radharani. Anyway, it gets a little complicated. Who was the devotee of Lord Chaitanya that was arguing with him and unsubmissive? It's a man, not a woman. Starts with a J. No one knows Chaitanya Charitamrita? Jagadananda Pandit. So Jagadananda Pandit had that bhav, or that emotion, of being bam, or left-handed, in relationship to Lord Chaitanya. For example, and he was always trying to serve Lord Chaitanya. For example, one time he went and acquired a large quantity of sandalwood oil to give to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so Lord Chaitanya could put it on his body during his massage. And Lord Chaitanya, being an ideal sannyasi, did not want to put sandalwood oil on his body. Why do you think he didn't want to put sandalwood oil on his body? What?
People will think bad about him.
People will criticize. They'll think he's a dhari sannyasi. A dhari sannyasi is a sannyasi who keeps women. You see that in India nowadays. Not a sannyasi who keeps women. You know, like, anyway, a bachelor. A bachelor instead of a sannyasi. So, Jagadananda Pandit brought him the sandalwood oil, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just give it to, he said indirectly through his servant Govinda, just give it to Lord Jagannath to be used in the temple. You know, they can burn the lamps, they can do so many things with the sandalwood oil for the Lord. So then what happened is that Lord Chaitanya directly said that to Gadadhar, not to God, Jagadananda, I'm confusing them of course, to Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit got so angry, he took that sandalwood oil, which was in a vessel, you know, like a clay vessel, and he smashed it on the steps. And he said, who told you that I brought sandalwood oil for you? And obviously he had brought it because he had it. And then he locked himself in a room for 3 days in a deep state of anger and depression. Did you ever see anyone lock themselves in a room and not come out? I've seen it. Sometimes, in my service of being guru, you know, deal with people who are extremely depressed. Extremely depressed and angry. I'll tell you some interesting stories. There was one lady who locked herself in a room for 3 days. And, you know, I'm not going to go in there and take her out, you know. So I said, just wait until she came out. And then there was another devotee who was just so angry all the time that they were going on Sankirtan, but they never turned their Sankirtan money in because they didn't want to talk to me. They got angry at me. So they were going down Sankirtan, so to get their money for the temple, you know, it's for the temple, I had to stand in front of the car and block their car. I said, unless you give me the money, you're going to run me over. So then this Sankirtan devotee, this lady, came out, said, here's the money, put it. So I have a lot of experience dealing with that. Another person was so angry that she got angry because she didn't like the way the deities were dressed, and she threw her bead bag in the woods. So, you know, being a guru, sannyasi, in charge of different things in ISKCON means you're dealing with all sorts of interesting cases. Now, they're going to award me a PhD in psychology next year. Just from life experience, you know. It's true, I mean, actually. Not the PhD, that's a joke. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So Jagadananda, he locked himself in his room for 3 days. And then Lord Chaitanya finally had to take him out of the room. He went to the room and said, Jagadananda! And Jagadananda didn't say anything to him. Jagadananda! Jagadananda still didn't say anything to him. Oh, Tulsi, Jai, Haribo, you made it. Jagadananda, he cried out, Jagadananda! And finally Lord Chaitanya said, I'm hungry, please cook for me. He said, you know, basically to evoke Jagadananda's sense of devotion. And it was devotion. Even his anger was devotion. With Lord Chaitanya and his associates, when there's anger, when his associates get angry with him, or when Radharani gets angry with Krishna, it's devotion. It's hard to understand that, isn't it? I mean, anger in this world is not devotion. It's the opposite. So what happened is that Jagadananda came out and started cooking for Lord Chaitanya and cooked him a big feast and made him eat more. Lord Chaitanya was scared of him. Because he was scared of saying the wrong thing. I mean, I've had that experience too, dealing with devotees sometimes, that you just have to like tread on thin ice. You ever hear that expression before?
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, sometimes we'd go on ice in the winter. And sometimes it's thin. You didn't want to fall through. So sometimes when you're dealing with people who get angry, you just have to tiptoe. You know. Would you like this? Please. Pretty please. So in the same way, that's funny. Lord Chaitanya just ate like 10 times more than he normally ate, just because he understood Jagadananda would get angry with him. And then he said to Jagadananda that basically you cook very nicely when you're angry. Mm-hmm. Has a special taste to it. So that's one instance of Jagadananda getting... And Lord Chaitanya sometimes would get angry at Jagadananda Pandit. One time, Sanatana Goswami wanted to just go to Vrindavan because he had these sores in his body. He wanted to get away because he thought he was committing offenses. He's in Jagannath Puri. And Jagadananda Pandit said, you should leave. And Lord Chaitanya said about Jagadananda Pandit, why is he advising you? He used the name Jaga. This Jaga is just a kid. He shouldn't advise you. So he got angry at Jagadananda Pandit. But then Sanatana Goswami said, now I can understand how intimate relationship you have with him, with Jagadananda Pandit. Because me, Sanatana Goswami was saying, you're praising, but Jagadananda Pandit, you're criticizing, you're chastising. So that chastising means an intimate relationship. Do you know that? That means love. If someone chastises you out of love, that actually means a close relationship. If someone tells you, oh, everything you do is okay, you're nice, Keshav, that means it's not such a close relationship. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya would sometimes chastise Jagadananda Pandit. And then Jagadananda Pandit, I mean, it's another story about him getting angry from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Jagadananda Pandit said, can I go to Vrindavan, please? And Lord Chaitanya said, if you go to Vrindavan in this angry mood, you're going to just criticize the Vaishnavas and commit offenses. He said, so just stay for 2 or 3 weeks. Don't stay any longer, because if you stay any longer, you'll criticize the Brajavasis. And the Brajavasis, he said, are in a different platform than you are. So Jagadananda, you know, had this anger tendency. And so then when he went to Vrindavan, he was with Sanatana Goswami. Again, his name was Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami had this turban on his head, and it was red cloth, and it was given to him by a Mayavadi sannyasi. But Jagadananda Pandit thought that the turban had been given to him by Lord Chaitanya. It was Lord Chaitanya's cloth. So he said to Jagadananda Pandit said to Sanatana Goswami, oh, who has given you this nice cloth? And he said, Sanatana Goswami said, Mukunda Saraswati, you know, the name of the sannyasi. And Jagadananda Pandit got so angry, he picked up some cooking pots to beat Sanatana Goswami. And he started running after him with these cooking pots, you know, just to smash him on the head. He said, how can you accept anything from anybody else other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Sanatana Goswami started laughing, and he said, I put this turban on just to test your love for Lord Chaitanya. So that's an interesting story. So you see amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates, there's all these different moods. It's not just everyone is just like Sri Chaitanya, like that, but the same moods that you find in Vrindavan are manifested in the moods of Lord Chaitanya's associates. So, anyway, so these are some of the stories about the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and especially Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Any other questions? Yes?
Bhudevi also...
Expansion, spiritual. Yeah, I mentioned that.
So she's spiritual?
Yeah, you're Bhudevi. When you go to the temples in South India, you see Sridevi and Bhudevi on the sides of Vishnu, the Venkateshwara. I mean, Bhudevi, it's an interesting story about Bhudevi. She was originally the Maya Lakshmi, this is a pastime, in the Ramayana story. I've told that story before, but you probably haven't heard it. That Maya Lakshmi... when Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi, he didn't actually kidnap Sita Devi, he kidnapped Maya Sita. So that Maya Sita was a person. She wasn't just like, you know, just like a robot, like a Japanese robot. Like nowadays you can go to Japan and buy, you know, if you're a man and you're pretty ugly, you can't find a wife, you can buy a robot wife. It's true. They have these robot wives, robot dogs. And that's good. We should have that in Krishna consciousness too. So, anyway, so she wasn't just a robot; she was a real person. So she fell in love with Ram after being with Ram for some time, and also chanting Ram's name when Ravana was attempting to hurt her. She always kept chanting Ram, Ram, Ram and doing austerities. So then after she was rescued, she actually said to Ram, you know, I'd like to marry you too. And Ram said, that's not possible. Because, you know, Ekapatni Vrata. There's only one wife for Ram. Ram has one wife, one arrow, one word. So you have to wait till the future. So later on, just to tell the story very quickly, later on, Lord Vishnu did something that aggravated his wife. You know, even Lord Vishnu gets his wife aggravated at him. So what happened is the Brigha Muni kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, and Lakshmi, she got really upset. How do you tolerate this? You apologize for being kicked in the chest, and she said, I'm taking a vacation. So she went down to the earth planet, and then Lord Vishnu became a little poverty-stricken because he didn't have Lakshmi. This is a pastime. So Lord Vishnu didn't have Lakshmi, so he came down to the earth planet to look for Lakshmi. He doesn't need Lakshmi. I mean, obviously, you know, she's an expansion, you know, she's his energy, sorry. So he was looking all over. While he was looking all over, he found this Maya Sita, who is Bhu Devi, you know, Bhumi. And he fell in love with her, and he asked her to marry him. But she was from a very rich family. So how could a rich girl marry a poor sannyasi, or whatever he was at that time? And so, you know, renunciate. And so he was thinking, how am I going to marry you? So he thought, I got to borrow money from somewhere. In those days, there wasn't ANZ, you know, or, you know, the other banks that they have here. So he naturally went to Kuvera. Kuvera was the treasurer of the demigods, and he lends out money sometimes to the demigods when they need it. So he went to Kuvera, he borrowed money, he said, I'll pay you back with interest. And then he went to one of his incarnations, Varahadev, and said, you know, can I have some land? Because I need a place to build a house. So Varahadev gave him the land. Kuvera gave him the money. They got married, had a very nice marriage ceremony. They're getting ready to go on their honeymoon. And who shows up with Lakshmi? You know, at the least opportune moment, you know, the worst moment for your other wife to show up is when you're going on honeymoon, you know. And so then the two ladies do what they naturally do. They started yelling at each other and arguing. And, you know, men get very nervous when ladies are arguing with each other. When ladies cry or argue with each other, it just freaks out the men. You know? like Prabhupada said, the woman's tears are the ultimate weapon. You know, oh my God, what's happening? And the man says, you know, what's the problem? And then the woman says, you never understood me. And the man says, please explain. And she said, that's what I mean. And the poor man is so bewildered, you know, he doesn't know what the heck is going on. So these two ladies are arguing anyway. Not just two ladies, I mean. Two Shaktis of the Lord are arguing. And then Lord Vishnu thinks, the only way I can get out of here is become a deity. So he turns himself into the deity. And that deity is, of course, Venkateshwara. That's the story of Venkateshwara. And then the two ladies look and see their beloved has now become a deity. So they join him. And they also become deities. And that's Sri Devi and Bhu Devi. And that's why you see Sri Devi and Bhu Devi with Balaji or Venkateshwara in Tirupati, Tirumala, actually.
So Bhu Devi is also an expansion of Lakshmi.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's see, they're eternal expansion. These are just pastimes. You know, sometimes it appears that, you know, Krishna meets his wife or something like that, or like Rukmini, the whole story of Rukmini, that she was saved from being married to Sishupal. But it's not that that just started, the relationship started then. There's a pastime that it appears that the relationship has just started, but it's an eternal relationship. So these are all eternal relationships, but in pastime's sake, it appears like they're meeting or they're separated or something like that. So, any other quick questions?
I've got a question. I just wanted to ask, when there's an appearance day of any Goswami, do we fast for half a day?
Not the Goswamis, generally. For the recent Acharyas, usually. I mean, recent Acharya means like Srila Prabhupada, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Beyond that, Prabhupada never really instructed us to fast. I mean, otherwise we'd have fasting quite a bit. Isn't it? I mean, there's so many acharyas. If you look at our disciplic succession, you know, Baladev Vijayabhushana, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, I mean, we look at the calendar and get scared.
Even for Panchatattva, it's not for... The calendar doesn't say...
We don't do Brigadahara Panchatattva. Vishnu Tattva, yes. And also for Srimati Radharani. But Srimati Radharani's fast is only half a day. And Srivas, no, we don't fast for Srivas. It's Narada Muni. Even though you could, someone could do that. There's no harm in doing that, but it's not really something we do. Otherwise, every other day would be a fast day. We'd be in trouble. I'd join another movement or something like that. Things like that. So, yeah. So, I mean, you can do special service in honor of these great personalities, in honor of Gadadhara Pandit Goswami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the devotee who dissolved into the Ganga water?
That was Narottama Das Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur, we told that story the other day. That they were bathing him in the Ganges. It's called the Dugdha Samadhi. They actually saved that water, which was like milky substance, and it's still there today. He became like merged into the Ganges. It's nice, isn't it? Different devotees leave in different ways. Yeah.
How do we know that Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhara Pandit entered into the Toyokopinath deity?
There's witnesses. There's witnesses. I mean, let's say if you go on the altar and you don't come out, you know, and then we look out the window to see if you jumped, or look under the altar to see if you're there, then obviously you entered into it. I mean, also Mirabai, the same thing happened. You know Mirabai? Mirabai, they just found her, like, sitar, her instrument, Veena, I think it was a Veena. They found her Veena in the deity room, and that was it. But when you have witnesses, obviously, you know, where else did you go? Isn't it?
No, I was just wondering if they actually physically saw him enter into the deity, or they just...
I don't know the answer to that. I know they saw him go in the deity room, and he didn't come out of the deity room. So, I don't know if there were direct witnesses to him entering into the deity or not. But that's with Lord Chaitanya and with Gadadhara Pandit Goswami. But with us, we won't have such an auspicious departure.
But with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like entering the deity, they saw that sign.
Yeah, they saw the sign. After that, they saw the sign on the thigh of the deity. You know, right after he did that. I can't say for sure that someone was watching like that. But they were watching him enter, at least. At least the deity room was, they watched him enter.
Was there a mark left by Gadadhara Pandit?
Is there what?
A mark left on the deity by Gadadhara Pandit.
Is that what they said? There's a mark by Gadadhara? I didn't.
His accent.
What?
His accent.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard about that.
There was one on each name.
What did the Pujari say? There was...
They said something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the last one and
Gadadhara Pandit. So? I mean, I don't know shastrically about that. Now, that Pujaris sometimes say a lot of things. So, I mean, I'm not accepting that with the same degree of conviction that I would say that Lord Chaitanya entered into the thought. So we have to be careful not to accept things that are not shastrical. So, any other questions? Questions, comments? It was the last class. But tonight we're having a program. We'll have some chanting and whatever. And prasadam. There's always prasadam. Too much prasadam. I'm going to go on a diet after I leave here. Gave too much weight. So, no other questions? So, I guess that's it. All glorious to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.